Thank you, Maureen. That was beautiful. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2 and Ephesians 6. Luke 2 and Ephesians 6. We're continuing our series on the home. We began with an overview of the home. And then we looked at husbands, when God turned his attention to men to speak to them as husbands. And then we looked at wives, God turns to the ladies and looks at them as wives. Today we're going to look at children. And then next Sunday, there's going to be a bonus. It's like your Ginsu knives. And that's not all. Next Sunday, it's a new car. Next Sunday, we're going to look at fathers. We looked at men, God directs them as husbands. And next Sunday, I want us to look at men as God directs them, when God directs them as fathers. And it's worth taking a little time to look at that. But look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin there. The Bible says in verse 1, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Lord, please help us. Lord, we just love these children so much. But sometimes we do not follow your lead. So, Father, I pray that whatever correction is necessary, that your word will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep your place here. Put your ribbon in Ephesians 6 and go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So, the Ephesians 6, 1 passage, it summarizes the whole duty of a child. The duty of the child is to obey. That's the duty. Regardless of wants, desires, regardless of the situation, a child's duty is to obey. And the Ephesians 6, 1, it summarizes the whole duty of a child. Now, later on, parental authority will compete with the school's authority or the employer's authority. But initially, the parent's authority is setting the child up for either success or failure in life. Look at this. So, have you kids ever thought this? Your parents tell you to do something, or they tell you not to do something, and you either say or think, that's not fair. You parents, did y'all ever experience that? That's not fair. All at once. You ready? You ready? I want all your parents to say it out loud with me. What's the answer? One, two, three. We didn't have to train you to say that. It's just the reality. Life is not fair. And some children experience that genuine unfairness of life way too early. Amen. Some of us, we don't have to experience that until later, but eventually we all come to the realization that life is not fair. That has nothing to do with the command of God. The fairness of the world has nothing to do with the rightness of the command. This is such an interesting passage. So Jesus Christ is a young man. This is really the only glimpse that we get of Jesus between Bethlehem and his baptism. And look at verse 51. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. So remember what has happened. They've gone to the temple. Jesus is fully aware now that he is God. He is disputing with the leaders of the synagogue. At 12 years old, he's confounding them. And remember, his mother and Joseph and their caravan has already started heading back to Nazareth, and they realize Jesus isn't here. He's not here. Where's Tim at? Tim, he and his brothers would hide in people's cars after church. Was that, that's right? Am I saying it right? No? They hid in your car? Your dad's car? No? Who am I thinking of? Somebody who knows Jerry Wolf. They'd hide in your car. Oh, no, no, that's Dave McDaniel in Rockford. He'd hide in Dick Wolf's car after church so that he could go home with them and goof off with the boys rather than go home. Probably mom and dad had chores for him. Sorry, Tim, I got you confused. So they're on the road. Eventually they say, where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. I thought he was with you. You parents, have you ever had that conversation? Right? And they go all the way back. They turn the minivan around and they drive all the way back. And look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Verse 49. Can you just picture the Jewish mother right there, by the way? The tone, the whole thing. But look at what Jesus said. And he, verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? He corrects her. So even though he had great respect for Joseph, Joseph was not his physical father. The Bible clears that up. Jesus Christ was virgin-born. He had no human father. And then look at what it says in verse 51. And this really is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And look at what it says. And was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But look at that in the middle of verse 51. Jesus was subject unto them. John Phillips wrote, what a lesson in obedience to think of him, the Lord of life and glory, the creator of the universe, the one who is the express image of God, the one whom angels worshiped, being in willing subjection to a village carpenter and his wife. So when we see, go back to Ephesians 6, and when you get there, look across the page to Ephesians 5, and look at what the Bible says. In verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So last week we looked at that. And that word subject, Jesus, he, the God who created everything, was subject to his human parents. Because that's biblical. That's biblical. So, there's so much more that we could say about that. But what this passage does, the passage first deals with children and then deals with the parents. So let's begin with the children. So all of you young people here and all of the children that are scattered around, I want you to really pay close attention to this because we're just going to look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to have a few cross-references, but I want you to know what God says about your responsibility. All right, this is for you. And it's important that the parents understand this because it's the parents' role to train their children in this. And we'll see there's a great responsibility. So, look at verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey. Children, obey. You got one job, and it's obey. One commentator, I think it was John MacArthur, said this, obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude. Obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude. But the first thing is obey. Whether you want to or not, no matter how you feel about it, your job is to obey. That's it. Your opinion doesn't matter. What you are doing at the moment doesn't matter. You are to obey. That is your simple job description. Other than that, a child's life is really wonderful, or ought to be. Amen? If you have to work, that's good for you. If you have chores to do, that's good for you. I'll never forget, we had these, we called them hedge apples, those big green ugly things. And the kids, they were real little. They were out picking them up, because I hate them. They're out there picking them up. They'd go and dump them in the woods. And Nathan Breinick came by the house. He goes, oh, that's cute. Are you paying him a nickel apiece or something? I said, no, they get to live here. Right? It's good for kids to work, and it's good for children to learn to obey. It's good for them. What is it to obey? It is to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. Let me say that again. To listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what is heard. So, you guys, have you ever heard this from your parents? Are you listening to me? Have you ever heard that? Tell me if you've heard that before. Why are they saying that to you? Because you're not listening. Right? And how do they know you're not listening? Because you're not looking at them. Anderson, come here. I should have got somebody shorter. But, okay, so look over here. Man, I'm talking to you. You keep looking over there. I'm talking to you. Hey, listen to what I'm saying to you. I'm talking to you. He's grown like a foot. Got to reach up to grab his face. That idea of inclining your ear, inclining listening, that's the child's job. That is your job. And I promise you this, if you will listen, it will help you. It will help you. You know, I can't think of how many times I see something that I need to repair, something that I need to do, a question that I need to answer, and here's the thought that goes through my head. I need to call Dad. But Dad's in heaven. And so many times, I wish I had listened better. I wish, because the wisdom that he had, I don't have. I wish I had listened better. So to obey, it's to listen. It's to give attention and then respond affirmatively to that. Let me tell you something that is missing in young people. Yes, sir. You know, Matt calls Dylan. Dylan, come here. Huh? Huh? Son, did you hear me? Huh? No, I doubt that Matt would accept that response. Look at his face. Everybody look at Matt. He's mad already. Poor Dylan's going to get whipped and he didn't even do anything. To obey, you listen intentionally and then respond affirmatively. Yes. Yes. When God commands us, yes, Lord. When our parents command us, yes, Father. Yes, sir. When your mother commands you, yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That there ought to be a fear and a respect, because if you'll do that, then later they become your friend. I love spending time with Jacob. I love it because I feel so smart when I'm with him. I love spending time with Jacob. He's my friend, but he was not my friend when he was six. He was my son. Now he's Amanda's problem. And that establishing of boundaries and hierarchy and, yes, God forbid, patriarchy, that's what gives your children confidence and assurance and their place in the world. We are born rebels, and children are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. Each of us, within us, there rises the voice of selfishness and rebellion at a very early age. I don't want to. How many of you feel that way every Monday morning? I don't want to. That's life. And doing beyond what we want, you know what that does? At least in an economy like ours, in a structured system like the United States of America, if you do what you should, you will ultimately be able to do what you want. But it has to be in that order. It has to be in that order. So, obey. Children who learn to defy parental authority will go on to defy other authority and will often grow up to defy divine authority. See, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And we're going to see some more of that. The structure of this is very specific. God was not arbitrary in the words that he chose and in the order of the commands. But I can tell you this, you cannot function in society without learning to obey those who have the rule over you. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in the military. I love the old saw, you know, the kid who got tired of being told what to do, so he joined the army. I just think that's hilarious. But let's look at the verse again. Children, obey your parents. Parents are a gift from God. And there ought to be a special reverence for it. See, that's why your mom jokes are so funny. Because of the absurdity of it. Of allowing someone to say something about your mother. I used that when I was doing my conference in Cleveland this week, or in Willoughby, where I do that. You don't know something until you can say it to somebody else. You know, you're playing Trivial Pursuit. What's the only man-made object visible from outer space? And then I said, your mom. It's funny. The reason that's funny is because it's just the opposite of what all of us very deep down inside feel and know. I'm going to take care of mom. I love mom. I'll do anything in the world for her. I'll die for her. Right? And then dad, it's a different feeling. My dad would die for me. Now, I know all you moms, all you mama bears out there, I understand, but it's a different relationship that a child has with mom or with dad. And so this is really important that we get this, that fear and that obedience, it has to start at a very young age, and it begins establishing things in people. So again, look at what it says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, in the Lord. In the Lord reveres to the sphere of pleasing God. Let me read this passage to you. It's Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, you young people, how many of you know that if you do things that God likes, that's good for you? That's just common sense, right? You do things that God, that please God, that's good for you. And that's the way that the Bible says it, that it may be well with thee. It's good for you to do what God wants you to do. And obedience is always right. Obedience is always right. Now, there are exceptions, but obedience to a proper command in proper authority is always right. The only exception to that obedience is in the matter of doing what is wrong. Every believer should refuse to do anything that is clearly against God's will as taught in Scripture. You parents, be careful of what you ask your children to do. There are parents that would rather their child play in sports than be in God's house. Well, there's a command to assemble with God's people. There's no command to play sports. And I love sports. Clearly, God did not give me the genetics to excel. But I love sports. Sports were never, as I was raised, sports were never more important than God's house. And my dad was a significant athlete. That was not the point of our life. Some of you parents, you get your priorities way out of whack. God blessed us with that in our house because Jacob can't see. So we didn't have to worry about sports. How old were you when you got your bifocals? 15. I'd throw a football to him when he was little and he wouldn't see it till it was right here. So I did it a lot. It was awesome. The Lord's house is more important than sports. It's more important than school. It's more important than a school project. We have to establish priorities for our children. And we live those priorities out by how we structure our children's lives. It's so important that we see that. So when a parent gives a command to a child that violates Scripture, when that child is cognizant, here's what the Bible says, Acts 4, 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were saying, don't speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. They said, well, yes, you've commanded us to do that, but the Bible tells us we're to speak. So we're going to obey God rather than men. Don't put your children in that situation, parents. Don't do that. So let's go back to our text. Children, obey your parents. Our first word is obey in the Lord, for this is right. Regardless of the promises or outcomes, obedience is right. We get this strange, if I do everything right, my life will be good. That's not the way life works. If I invest all my money properly, I'm going to be okay, unless the market crashes. If I go to work and do a good job, I will advance, unless your boss is a jerk. And yet, you're supposed to go to work. And yes, you are to invest your money wisely. And yes, you are to obey your parents. Well, what if my parents aren't good? What if my parents aren't worthy of respect? I don't think there are any parents in this room that that could be said of. Amen? Listen, next week when I do the message on fathers, I'll identify some things that I wish I had done better. I wish that I had heard the sermon that I'm going to preach next week when my children were young. You can't fix that. You can't go back and do other things. And I promise you, young people, your parents are going to make mistakes, but you are not obeying them for their sake. You are obeying them because God told you to. So regardless of any promises that are made, obedience is right. And that rightness is not based on psychological case studies or other human evidence or theory, but on God's standard of right. God's declaration makes it right. Amen? You will never do wrong by obeying God. When you don't know what to do, obey God. Do the things that you know are right, and that will help you to know those uncertain things because you are within the parameters of what God has called you to do. Right. It refers to that which is correct, just, righteous, to that which is exactly as it should be. So when God created the world and he saw that it was good, you might say it was right. It was right. You get done with the job. Ed and I were talking about this, Ed Bermond, how he was helping Mark with some stuff. And they got done and they cleared out some honeysuckle and he just enjoyed seeing when it was done because it was right. It was right. And we all know that sense of accomplishment. You get it just right. And then, guys, have you ever done this? It just needs a little more, and then you ruin it because it was just right. Come on, testify with me. How many of you guys have done exactly that? Okay, I'm not alone. All right. So this idea of rightness, Nehemiah 9:13 says this, thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. It was right. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. But can we turn there? Keep your place in Ephesians. Put your ribbon there. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 75. I want us to spend a minute here. Psalm 119, look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. And then look at the second half of the verse. And that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let's look at that verse again, Psalm 119 and verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. See, this is how God demonstrates his love, faithful affliction. So, children, this is how your dad demonstrates his love, faithful affliction. Faithful affliction. Someone said that the pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. But in a child's sake, that affliction, that adversity, that punishment, that chastisement that comes from a loving father, a loving mother, that's because they're faithful. One of the most difficult things for a married couple, and I talk about this with the pre-marriage, and I need to do the pre-marriage stuff, and then when a couple's getting ready to have their first child, do the stuff again, because all they're thinking about is getting married in the honeymoon. They're not listening to a word about children during that time. I can tell because you're kids. But anyway, that was ugly. That was uncalled for. So Laura and I, one of the things that I'm so thankful for in our marriage is when it came to children, we were in 100% agreement. That they were going to obey immediately with a good attitude. That was it. So if they were with me, they had to obey. If they were with her, they had to obey. There was none of this wait until your father gets home. They were with her, they were required to obey immediately. They were with me, they were required to obey immediately, but had way more fun. Why? Because we wanted to be faithful to what God had promised us. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Our desire was to see our children be successful. Whether it's business success, I'm talking about life success. Success in marriage, success in the Lord, success as parents. And so the faithfulness of God in afflicting disobedient children is the perfect model for us. It ought to be, your home ought to be very uncomfortable for a disobedient child. But I love him too much to punish him. No, you love yourself too much to punish him. You're not faithful. As a matter of fact, look at how God says you are behaving. Hebrews 12:7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. God, he chastens, he afflicts those that he loves to correct. That's what loving parents do. If you have ownership of your child, if you claim them as your own, you must discipline them because it's right. Because it's right. And you are setting them up for the future. Psalm 119, 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Children, obey your parents. That's right. That is right. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Go back with me to Ephesians 6, verse 1. The passage says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then look at what it says. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So honor. Remember, we said a minute ago that obey has to do with action. Honor has to do with attitude. One of the things I love, and Laura loves it, is that we come in here on Sunday, and the first thing Jacob does when he sees his mom is he hugs her. And it's wonderful to get honor from our children. Isn't that for you parents who have older children? That's different. When they're little, you're requiring them to obey. When they're adults, it's their choice. And when they demonstrate honor to you, that's an attitude that you began to develop in them when they were little. Because obedience is action, honor is attitude. So immediate obedience in the right spirit. Moms, let me just correct you for a minute. I see way too many moms, and I hear way too many moms say, I just can't do anything with her. I just can't do anything with them. My dad had a saying. He'd see a child misbehaving, and dad would say this, I could fix that. Have any of you said something like that? Right? Then why don't the parents fix that? See, moms, let me talk about a serious mistake you make with your children. Do not argue with them. Do not debate with them. Their opinions do not matter until they are asked for. Oh, how will their little will develop? It'll be okay. And moms, let me give you a warning. When your son is sitting here in one of these rows right here, now here's the problem. He is still commanded to obey you. Amen? Man, that was weak. That child is still commanded to obey his mother. Amen? But we also want him to develop into a man. And what happens between maybe 11 or 12 and 15, this strange thing starts happening. They lose their minds. And it's all this hormonal stuff that's going on. Can any parent say amen? But here's the thing. In the Bible, a boy is a man at 13. And so now the relationship with mother and son, it shifts. Now, you young men, I know some of you guys are sitting here thinking, awesome, I don't have to listen to her. No. So now, I like this. Who am I going to use on this one right here? Caden, come on up here for a minute. I probably picked a too big one again. Come on over here. You've grown a full head since the last time I stood next to you. I used to be this tall, but it was hard to buy clothes. How old are you?
14.
So now imagine that Jesse is having a conversation with Caden. And where's Thierry at? Come up here, Thierry. This is Dad. What's that?
I have to look up to him.
Yeah, he has to look up to him too. Now, okay, look at these two. How many of you think that it would be really difficult for Thierry to deal with Caden? Be honest. How many of you think that would be a problem? No. But here's what's going on. Jesse tells Caden something. And next thing you know, he's feeling his manhood. And he is becoming a man, clearly. So he's feeling that manhood. And he feels disrespected by his mother. And so he speaks disrespectfully to her. So, Thierry, how well would it go for me if I came up and started being really disrespectful to Jesse and you were standing there? Are we going to have a problem? So here's the thing that we all need to remember. This is vital. Please remember this. At 14, biblically, he's a man. And needs to have the responsibilities of a man. We infantilize our children. We allow them to play way too long. A young man this age needs responsibility. Okay? He doesn't need a full-time job, doesn't need to support the family, but he needs to begin understanding what manhood is about through work. Because you can't separate manhood and work. Amen? So, he's feeling disrespected. And so he treats his mother disrespectfully when the Bible commands him to honor her. You can't disrespect and honor at the same time. Here's what should change in our homes. He wants mom to treat him like a man. When he disrespects mom, dad should treat him as a man. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. What do I mean? Among men, there's a certain accountability for the way somebody treats my wife. It's my job. It's my job. Any man that disrespects my wife is going to have a problem, including my son. My dad, I've told you the story. He's 16, my brother's 16 years old, mouths off to my mom. Next thing you know, my dad's in the room, and he said, "No man talks to my wife that way." And my dad treated him the way he would treat a man that talked to his wife that way. Now, I know we live in a soft culture and all that. I'm just telling you, it was a better culture. Amen. It was a better culture to where if Andy is harming Maureen, that every man in her life takes care of that. That was a better world than restraining orders. Now listen. The honoring. Moms, that son is to obey. If he chooses not to obey, now we shift into a different sphere. And that's where father has to step in. What do we do in mixed homes? What do we do in those things? It still has to be handled biblically. And those parameters must be, I'm talking about mixed marriages where one parent brings children into the relationship and another parent brings children into the relationship and there's that conflict. Or maybe there's not a parent in the home, single moms, single dads, for whatever reason. These things still must be handled biblically. That child, as long as they are in that house, is to obey. But moms need to be aware of what's going on inside that young man. And we want him to be manly. We want him to be self-confident. We want him to feel powerful. But you had better never disrespect your mother. Guys, are y'all listening to me? Be honest. How many of you know the feeling that I'm talking about? You recognize that feeling. But you're to honor her. Whether she has handled this properly or not, whether you feel disrespected by her or not, and you may, and she may have disrespected you. You could have done something really dumb. Or it could be she's having a bad day and she speaks to you in a way that you don't think is appropriate. That's between her and God. Her job is to treat you properly. Your job is to respond properly, regardless of what's going on. Amen? This is what it means to be a man. This past week, there's a lot of stuff I didn't want to do. It was a really difficult week. But I did every one of those things. I don't think I let anything slip this past week, except for the website. I just lied. So listen, guys, honor your mom. Honor her. Honor your father. Let's keep going. Children are to honor both their father and the mother. What does that mean? It means to hold them in the highest possible respect. Go with me. Keep your marker here in Ephesians. Go to Exodus. So Paul is actually quoting this, Exodus chapter 20. I want you to see a couple of things. Exodus chapter 20. So look at what the Bible says in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Okay, so hold your place here. Flip back to the Ephesians passage. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So go back to Exodus. So the Ten Commandments are divided into two parts. And you have the first table of the law and the second table of the law. If you go back in history, the Puritans here in the colonies, they wanted to by law, enforce both tables of the law. The first table of the law is man's relationship with God. The second table of the law is man's relationship with man. So thou shalt not steal. The relationship of man with man starts with a thou shalt not. And so the first four commandments, so go with me to, well, we're not going to take time to do that. Verse 12 is the fifth commandment. And so sometimes people have taken, because it's the relationship of man with man, a child obeying his parent, that would be man with man. And that the first four is man's relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's not right. That's a mistake. See, the Ten Commandments divide man's duty into two categories, his duty to God and his duty to man. This division, where sometimes people say there are four in the first category and six in the next category, that's wrong. Jesus Christ summarizes the Ten Commandments in the book of Mark. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, thy neighbor as thyself, that's man to man. God is man to God. But when we review these 10, we see that there was a division inherent in the law. The first five commandments are tied together by the phrase, the Lord thy God. The five remaining by the phrase, thou shalt not. So go look at verse 12 again. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So the next verse, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You see, this still belongs to the previous division. So this division links the command to honor thy father and mother with the commandments that address man's duty to God. And this distinction is important. For the fifth commandment puts the parents in the place of God over their young children. For the rest of their lives, the children are to render to their mothers and fathers as the human authors of their being, as those who loved them, protected them, taught them, and sacrificed for them. They're to honor them. Failure to honor one's parents is an insult to the God who chose them. Rebellion against parents is high-handed rebellion against God. All sin is rebellion against God. But the way that God groups this, children, obey your parents, honor your father and mother, that's in a different category. When you honor your father and mother, you are honoring them the way that you honor God. Even when your parents let you down. Even when it seems like, how could this happen? When you honor them, you are honoring them as a part of your obedience and submission to God. And remember, life's not fair. Life is not fair. If you did not have good parents, you can be a good parent. God calls himself the father of the fatherless. And we must obey this. Honor them. Do we see the significance of it? Does God care? that we love God? Does God care that we worship Him? Does God care that we're not idolaters? Does He care about that? It's interesting. When the Bible gives these lists of horrible things that go on in the world, adultery, fornication, concupiscence, man-stealers, you know, slavers, man-stealers, effeminate homosexuals. When God makes that list, you know what He often puts in there? Disobedient to parents. And parents, some of you need to apologize to your kids. You need to say, son, I'm sorry, I have failed you. I've let you get away with it. That ends right now. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen the next time you disobey. But here's the problem. If you don't do it, then He just knows you're a liar. You're just a liar. Does God ever lie to us? You are in that place in the home. Tell the truth. Be honest with that child and listen. When you are requiring that child to obey, you are fighting for their life if God's word is true. Go back with me to Ephesians. Moms, some of you moms are having to do this for the father and yourself. God will help you. And that's why God has established the church, for the men in the church to help you. Honor of parents encompasses providing for them when they can no longer provide for themselves. I've always told Jacob he needs to make a lot of money so he can take care of his mom and me in his old age. And so sometimes I'll mess with him and he'll say, Dad, nursing home just went down a notch. Go look at what it says again in verse 3, Ephesians 6 and verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So, Exodus 20 and verse 12 that we just read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is a key principle behind all right human relationships in society. A person who grows up with a sense of respect for and obedience to his parents will have the foundation for respecting the authority of other leaders and the rights of other people in general. But notice what it says, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. That's not just being poetic. It's not a Disney song. The circle of life. That's not what this is talking about. All of a sudden, I channeled... what's his name? I can picture him. Vegas? No? Newton, Wayne Newton. Okay, there we go. That's who you thought it was. Yeah. Yeah. So, that thou mayest live long upon the earth. It's not a Disney song. Listen to Exodus 21:15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You think about hitting your dad? That's what God thinks of that. You think of hitting your mom? That's what God thinks of that. Oh, but what's repetition in the Bible? Exodus 21:17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. So when you want to swear, you want to be abusive in your language to your mom and dad? God thinks you should die. Has God changed His mind? How many of you are glad we don't live under that? Some of us would not be here. No, I wouldn't be here because my dad would have taken me out. I'm just telling you, young people, I never did that once. Never yelled at my mom, never yelled at my dad. Not once. Maybe as a two-year-old, and it was corrected then. I have no memory of ever doing that. Leviticus 20 and verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. How many of you think God's serious about this? Seriously, how many of you think God's serious about this? Do you reflect that seriousness in the way that you raise your children? Do you allow your six-year-old to yell at you? Do you allow your four-year-old to say no? Do you allow your 12-year-old to be blatantly disobedient and disrespectful? Do you believe God? Let's just read the text again. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We have all seen children who die because of foolishness, because they disobey their parents. I think every year our school systems deal with teenagers who die because they're out doing something foolish, something silly. Is the Bible true? You young people, you have to decide, do you believe God? Do you trust God? Maybe you didn't win the parental lottery. That's not the point. You do it for God. It is a part of your worship to Him. And we parents, let's make it so our kids win the lottery. Let's be the parents that God wants us to be. Let me just tell you something. I have never used my children as models when we're talking about this. It's not fair to my kids. And they were terrible. I have never used my kids as models for this. Right? That's not what we've done. But I promise you this. Laura and I did everything that we have said here. We're not always perfect in it. But in general, everything that I have preached here, we did this at home. Our children didn't see Laura and I fight with each other. They didn't see that. Our children never one time saw Laura disrespect me, and they never one time saw me berate their mother. We don't do that in our home. We wait until we're in private to do that. We don't do that in front of the kids. Why? We want them to have a godly home, and we're not animals. A godly home. Is it possible to have a godly home with disobedient parents, with disobedient children? Is it possible to have a godly home with disobedient children? So, folks, let's do better. Some of you keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a wonderful job. Others, hey, talk to the junior church leader. Amen. How'd my kids do? How'd they do? Good. Talk to the Awana leader. How did my kids do? And you Awana leaders, tell them the truth kindly. Amen. Kindly. I think we have the next Jeffrey Dahmer here. Well on his way. Good job. Be honest. And when the teacher tells you the child has disobeyed, don't get mad at the teacher. Let's all stand together. So, young people, plug in with me just for a second. I know you guys have an activity. You're going to go and do bowling and do your best to keep your mind out of the gutter. This message was about obedience and honor. The first step of obedience is you must be born again. So if you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Your parents can't do that for you. This is between you and the Lord. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? So Ty and Diana are going to be at the activity. Is that right? If any of you are not sure about that, will you just pull them aside and allow them to talk to you about that? Because today you could know for sure that you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ will save you today, just like that. And that's His desire. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we as parents, can you all agree with me? We just need to do better. Our teachers would say, we need to do better. I didn't communicate it right. Our teachers would say, our parents need to do better. Let's just do better. If you really love your kids, Teach them what it means to live within specific, clearly defined boundaries. And within those clearly defined boundaries, there's joy. There's all we ever did at our house was laugh. There's joy. You step out of those boundaries, and there is affliction. Why? Because your parents are faithful. You're faithful. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your clear instruction from your word. Just as you, Lord, were subject to Mary and Joseph.